Hi rappers, today we have a man called Jonas Sjöström from JBS Decor from Stockholm, Sweden. We've done this interview about two times prior to this one. It's me that's fucked it up all those times before, but Jonas was kind enough to do it once more again. And this is what it came out. So props to you, Jonas, for being a part of it once more. Jonas is the winner of the World Rap Championships 2017 and has been a rapper for many years. He tells some interesting stories in regards to the competition, but also talks about his life as being a freelancer in Sweden and how the Swedish market is. It's a good chat, listen to it, enjoy, let's rap talk with Jonas Sjöström. Welcome to the show, Mr. Jonas Sjöström from JBS Decor. How are you doing today?
I'm doing well, Simon. Thank you for having me.
Again. So, Jonas, let's put it out there once again. We've done this. This is the third time we do this, right?
Yes, it is.
And this is the last time we do this.
Hopefully.
For now, at least.
Yeah.
So, let's get this down on the books. Jonas, I know you from a while back now, and... For those out there that may not know you, try giving us all a 3-minute cap of who you are prior to getting into the rapping business. Who is Jonas Sjöström?
Prior to getting into the rapping business, I was working at a gas station company here in Stockholm as a salesperson. And after 4 years of that, I quit that job and started into car rentals. And I worked basically there for 2 years, and then after that I was kind of in between jobs, looking for employment. And a friend of mine, he actually had a spot open at a kind of sign making and wrapping company. And then from there on, I got to try out the job here, and I absolutely loved it. And here. 10 years later, here I am.
Were you always good with your hands, or?
Yeah, I think so. I've always kind of struggled with everything that had to do with school, and I think I'm destined to work with my hands.
It's a good way to start.
Yeah.
So, you get started in the business through a friend of yours that had an opening in a sign company, right?
Yes. Now he was actually employed in that company, and they had a guy who recently quit the job, and so they had an opening, I got to come in and try to work out, and started right away.
Do you remember your first day at the work?
Yes, I do. I was. Really nervous. I didn't know exactly what the job really meant. The first day I got there, the cars that they were doing that day was actually for the gas station company that I used to work for. So that company has kind of stuck with me for my whole career. So the first day I actually got to start putting small logos and wrapping small parts of those cars.
So I presume that you show up to work at 8 a.m. not knowing what it is you're gonna do.
Yeah.
But once you see what you were supposed to do, it sounds like you fell in love with it.
Yeah, I kind of had an idea what the job would meant, but. I haven't really put on stickers on things before, except like when I was small, I was little and put stickers on toy cars and stuff. But I had a general idea of what the work meant, but I have never tried it out before. So I didn't know if I was going to be any good at it.
So what made you stick to it?
I kind of fell in love with it from the get-go. First, first week I kind of struggled with everything, and then the company had a lot of scrap parts, scrap material, so that I can take home and play with. So I started wrapping everything in my home, all the way from computers to refrigerators and everything I can put vinyl on. I did.
That's a good way to start.
Yeah, I really loved it, and just. The smaller the things, the harder it gets, basically. So I wrapped everything.
It usually tends to be that way. The smaller the surface, the harder it is.
Yeah.
It seems like you got into a company that, they sold wrap jobs and you were an applicator.
Yeah, basically that. And it's one of the biggest companies I think it's the biggest company in Scandinavia. And they have an office here in locally where I live. So it was very convenient for me to start working there. And they do a lot of fleet work and the signs and in like store interiors and
right.
Yeah, kind of big, big entrepreneurial things.
So I'm guessing that you had a chance to get your hands warm with all the different surfaces, all the different cars, and all the large projects.
Oh yeah, really, I really did. They had a lot of, as I said, very big projects and a lot of different projects. So I get to do everything from the start. And there was always work that needed to be done. So I could work my full days from the start.
Always busy, always in a rush, always late, right?
That's the name of the game.
That's the name of the game, right? So when did you realize, Jonas, that rapping was for you?
Kind of from the start. As I said, I really loved it from the moment I got to do it. So the company that employed me, they actually, that it was right in the beginning of the financial crisis here in Sweden, so they were really anxious to have too many employees. So after 1 month of me working there, they actually fired all the applicators from the company. So the day that I got my first paycheck was the same day I got a letter of what do you call it?
Resignation.
The letter of resignation. So and they basically told us that hey, you're not going to be employed here anymore, but we can still provide you with work, but you have to do it with your own company. So I had to, after 1 month of doing it, I had to make a decision that was this something that I was willing to do, and willing to start my own company and do it in, and I did for I took that decision and haven't regretted it ever since.
That must have been a hard day. I mean, a lot of emotions.
Yeah.
Goodbye and good and welcome back.
Yeah. I was happy in the morning and anxious in the evening.
So I'm guessing that the day after that, you decide to open your own company and you start working for yourself.
Yes.
Supplying your hours to different companies, right?
Yeah, but from the start, as I've only been doing it for a month, so I didn't know any other companies in the business. So from the start, I basically only worked for that company. Right. So they provided me with enough work that I can do like 40 or 50 hour weeks. So it was a good way to start it.
Did you find a need to start searching other ways for more jobs, or things just came about?
No, I think it actually grew from that one company. Then I started to, friends started to acknowledge that I was doing it. So it kind of went on from that.
So for anyone that, anyone that doesn't know, you live in Sweden, right? And you work in Sweden.
Yeah, I live in Stockholm, Sweden.
So for anyone that doesn't know Sweden as a country and the rapping scene,
yeah,
how big is that industry?
I think it's pretty big. It's gone bigger and bigger for every year that goes by. Right. But I think if you look on like Instagram and see work from other countries, I think it differs a bit from especially the commercial scene differs a bit, because in Sweden we don't get a lot of full print commercial jobs. A lot of the fleet work that I do and that I've been doing for a lot of years now is actually color chains with cut vinyl on it.
Right.
So that tends to be the norm here in Sweden when you do like fleet work.
Right. Buy the cars wide and wrap them.
Yeah, basically.
So I'm guessing that with time, as you said before, you started to get recognized, you started to get jobs from other companies. Where are you at the moment now? It's 10 years into your rapping career. Do you do color changes? Do you do fleet raps? Do you do something else? What's your main focus?
From the start, I did everything. I did everything from like small lettering stuff to stores to buildings. Everything I did it all. But as I started working on completely on my own for like 4 years ago now, then I stopped doing the small stuff and tried to like move into only do like full wraps for cars and boats is my main goal now to do. So I tend to shy away from the boring work now.
I think we all wish we could.
Yeah.
As well. So I feel that I have to bring it up because you haven't brought it up yet.
Yeah.
And that is that you are the winner of the World Rap Master Scene of 2017, right?
Yeah, that's correct.
So we're going to jump off a little bit here and forward and back in the story, but
yeah,
mind telling everyone what it is to be the winner of that competition?
Oh, yeah. Where should I start this? I
wherever you want.
Okay, I'm gonna start from the beginning because I entered a local competition here in Sweden, and it basically just fitted my schedule, and it was a very very local competition because it was like 20 minutes from my home, so I entered that just to like go out and meet all the other guys in the industry
right.
Close by to me and see. I've always known that I'm a quality driven guy. I'm always looking to improve my work, and I'm kind of OCD with the things I do. So I know my quality is very high, but I have no clue how it compares to others.
Right.
So I entered that competition just to find that out, basically, and I ended up winning that competition, the local one here. And that competition, that winning, it gave me the ticket to the Vespa show in Hamburg last year, and to compete in the World Rap Masters. So. So that was where it all started, and I had found out that okay, my work is up to standards here in Sweden, but how does it compare to the rest of the world?
Right.
Basically, so I went down to Hamburg with really no expectations of winning the thing at all. It was again just. I wanted to see the competition. I wanted to see meet other people and pick up like ideas and exchange thoughts about the business.
So,
and
let me just pause there for a minute, because as we've said before in the start of this episode, we've done this talk a couple of times, so I feel that I have the background on the story. But if I remember correctly, you actually flew there on a Monday, and you decided to buy the ticket home before the final to end.
No, because the company that gave away the winnings from the first competition, they actually booked all the flights and everything for me. So I haven't done the booking of the flights myself. But as I went on to the next round all the time, I just started to realize, hey, I'm not going to get on my flight home here. So I actually ended up missing my flight home.
It's okay if you're a champ. Don't worry about it.
Yeah. All right. It didn't matter too much.
So I can understand that.
Yeah.
So you got to Hamburg wanting to see how you meet up with the other rappers worldwide, right?
Yes, correct.
It's a pretty long competition, I might say. It's a couple of days. It takes time.
Yeah, it's a lot of waiting.
Yeah.
Waiting around and all the other guys that was there, it was like kind of a close-knit group.
Right.
Everyone that's been on these shows know that everyone calls it the rapping family. Mm. And it basically felt like I'm the outside guy visiting the family. But as time went on, I just started to getting to know the people that was there. And everyone, I was really surprised that everyone was sharing so much and helping each other all the time and giving each other ideas. And it was a very friendly group of people at the shows.
For anyone that hasn't been at one of those competitions, you mind telling them how the competition goes? What is it? What different parts are there?
You basically start off with all the competitors doing one or two rounds. I think it's always two rounds. Two rounds of specific parts on the cars that are there. So there are like three or four cars on the podium, and you work like I think then we worked six guys at a time. Last time we did 12 guys at a time, and so you basically do small, like a door and a fender, or just a fender, or just a door, or two doors. It varies a bit.
Right.
And so you basically start off with two rounds of that, of rapping on cars. And then it's after that, there's a creative round. And you get an object, and you have a set time, like 45 or 60 minutes, to do something creative with. And they basically put like 10 or 15 rolls of material in different colors, and you have 45 minutes or an hour to make something out of it. And I think when in Hamburg we were doing motorcycle helmets.
I remember that.
Yeah.
And after that, if you pass through, you end up in the semifinals, right?
Yeah, correct. After the first three rounds, they narrow it down to semifinal group, and that varies a bit how many people are in the semifinal group. But and it also varies a bit what you do in the semifinal. But in Hamburg, for the semifinal, we were narrowed down to four guys, and we had to wrap I think it was three parts on each side of a Formula One car, a Formula Four car.
Do you know prior to all of this what they judge you on?
No, now I do.
Okay, that's good to know.
But yeah, but when I got there, I didn't know exactly what they were measuring the scores for. There were some guys that told me that hey, don't leave like backing paper lying on the floor because they scratch points off of that. And always keep it clean. Always post heat, clean it afterwards, and they measure everything. Like I mean, literally everything. So So the main thing is of course the quality of the work,
right?
But also you get measured for, as I said, cleanliness of the working area. You get measured from how you work and how you basically everything that you do. And the job that you do has to be as they said, customer ready. So it has to look like you will leave that job to a customer, and they will judge that.
And you have, and there's a time frame for all of these, right?
Yeah, and that's the really tricky part, because if there wasn't a time frame, then every guy at the competition would do an almost perfect work.
Right.
Yeah, the quality would be too good. If it would be too hard to judge that. So if, for instance, if you do a door and a fender, you get, I think it was last time we did door and a fender, and we had 30 minutes to do it in. And yeah, I probably back home I could do it in 30 minutes and
yeah,
still have time to check everything. But when you stand there and people everywhere and it's not your environment, then you work slower. Everyone does.
It's just, I mean, like you said, there's a lot of people watching, there's cameras going back and forth, and there's judges going through. So it's not like you're back home where you have your headphones on or you just work.
Yeah, no, it's a totally different ballgame there.
So you get the Formula One car. It's for rappers, right? And
yeah,
you finish your side, or you finish your part of the rap, or how did it go for you?
No, we actually did. I think we had four parts that we were supposed to do in an hour and a half, but I don't think anyone finished all the four parts.
Mm-hmm.
So. I think we did. I almost finished the third part.
How did you feel when you were done with it? Did you feel okay, I'm going through it, or you just didn't know?
After the Formula 4 car, I didn't know, because I didn't get to see the two other finalists because I was at someplace else at the mess.
Right.
So I had no idea that I was going through to the final round, but I felt that I took a lot of the right choices with the Formula 4 car, and so I felt pretty confident, but I had no idea. I didn't know how the other guys had done
prior to getting through to the final.
Yeah,
Seeing all that you did before getting to the final round, could you have trained yourself in a special way, or it's just an all covering all kinds of rap, so you just need to rap a lot and you might be well trained for a competition? Or how is it? How do you think about it now?
I don't think there is any possibility to train for it, because you don't really know what they will throw at you, especially the creative round. There's no way of knowing, because the object that you're doing is not something that they tell beforehand.
Right.
So you basically get like an hour before they will show you, hey, you're rapping this. And so you have like an hour to come up with some creative design for it. But as for like training in general, then I don't think there's no need to do it, and I think you'll just do yourself what do you call it, an unfavor if you do it. Yeah,
but
there is an expression in Swedish that says unfavor, so. The opposite of a favorite.
The opposite of a favorite. Yeah, no, I get it. So, okay, you say that, but I know that the final round was at Hamburg. It was wrapping a boat, right? A boat side.
Yeah, it was wrapping a Formula racing boat.
And I know that prior to that, you did a lot of boats.
Yeah, I always do that in May and April, May and June. There's a lot of boat reps for me. So yeah, I've done a ton of boats, but just before I went there. So I felt kind of safe,
right?
With the actual work that I had to do, but still, it's material that I'm not really used to work with, and it's a boat shape that I've never done before. Right. So it's still, everything is still new, but I felt confident doing it. So
do you get down with your side, I guess, or did you?
No, we had the boat was in two separate pieces on each side, and the time that we got was not enough to finish off the top part of piece number two.
Right.
So none of us did actually finish the boat side.
So you put down your knife and your squeegee when the time has gone by.
Yeah.
What are you thinking there?
My first thought was because there was one thing on the boat. It was a deep recessed area. Right. Then I had a lot of trouble deciding what I was gonna do with it, because if I was back home, I would just cut and drop that. And at the competition, I saw the other guy competing on the other side. He was heating that in and forcing it in.
Right.
And so I had a lot of trouble deciding what I was going to do with it. And so I took the decision to do as I do back home, which led to me cutting it and dropping it in. And it, for me, it looked perfect, but I wasn't sure how the client would react to it. So I didn't know. I felt confident with the work I've done. I can explain for the customer that why I did this, and it turns out that they judge according to customer ready. So basically my decision was the right decision to do, because it will hold up for the long term, right. And two, it didn't distort the image that we're wrapping.
So that means that you won in the end, right? And you became the 2017 World Wrap Master.
Yes, that's correct.
So you hold a Wrap Master title.
Yeah, I do.
You get back home to Sweden, to Stockholm.
Yeah.
What does that mean for you in your day-to-day?
From the start, it didn't change very much, but
you could call yourself a champ, so that changed.
Yeah, of course, but still, I'm from Sweden. We're humble people, so I don't go around bragging about it.
So no champ.
It took me like 6 months to actually make a t-shirt that said "Winner of World Rap Masters 2017." Yeah, but. I'm not a bragging type of guy, so I'm quite humble about it.
I know people that would have pre-printed those t-shirts before flying over there.
Oh yeah,
but I guess
for sure. Yeah.
Okay, so you get home and it sounds like it didn't mean that much at the beginning, right?
Yeah, of course it meant a lot to me personally to win it, but it didn't actually mean from the start a lot to the company or to my business. But as now a year has gone by since I won it, and people are starting to recognize that I actually have won something, and I'm starting to be able to like pick the work I want to do,
right,
more than when they just do everything that falls into my lap.
Because that's one of the things I was going to say. From what I hear from you is that it builds up confidence, right?
Yes, it does. But as I said, I was talking about it before, I'm quite OCD with my work, and I always see the stuff that I do that turns out not so good. And but still, I've been doing it for 10 years, and I'm quite shy when the customer are picking up the car or the boat. So I'm always hoping, oh, I hope they don't see something wrong with it. But still, I know that everything is I can know that everything is perfect, but I'm still nervous about the client.
Well, it's good to be nervous. I feel that way, at least. You don't know everything all the time, so one needs to stay humble. Well, at least I think so.
Yeah, I think so too. And there's always stuff to learn. There's always better ways to do it, and or faster ways to do it, or smarter ways to do it. And so I think you can never think that you're fully taught of something. That you always need to learn new stuff.
So the year goes by, Jonas, and you end up going back at it in 2018 to fight for your belt, if we could call it. So you entered the 2018 championships, right?
Yes, I did.
How did it go for you this time?
This time I wasn't qualified directly to the finals, so I had to go through the European World Rap Masters, I think they call it, the European competition before.
Okay.
And so that's held in this year. It was in Berlin, at the Vespa show in Berlin. So the first 2 days was the European competition, and then the third or fourth day was the finals, with all the winners from around the globe.
So what was your experience now going back at it once you knew what it was all about?
This year, my thoughts was really just to go there to have a lot more fun than I did last year, because I was so nervous last year to meet all the other people, and I was nervous to what am I going to do, I didn't have any expectations. So now I knew a lot more of what I could expect from it, and so my first thought was only to go there again to just hang out with my new rapping family and have fun.
You were part of her family, Ram, now.
Yeah. You get to be a part of it, because it's a lot of the guys who goes to the competition are the same as last year. So I knew a lot of them from last year, and we can like hang out and just talk and have fun with it.
Just nerd out about rap. Just talk.
Oh, it's a complete nerd fest.
So you do the competition, and you didn't get through, right? This time around.
No, I didn't get to the finals this time. I ended up out of 42 guys. I ended up at 7th place, I think.
That's not bad.
At the Europeans. No, I'm thrilled about it. I know I did forget one thing in the final round, so I didn't end up in the finals for the European.
That's tough, man.
Yeah, but I was kind of. This is gonna sound like loser's talk, but I was kind of glad to not be in the finals, because last year I didn't have a day where I could just chill out at the
show.
Yeah, last year I didn't have a chance to like have a complete day to just chill out at the show and just hang around. So this year I actually had a full day where I could just walk around, talk to all the people that are not in the competition, and see some new stuff, because that's one of the reasons you go to shows like this, to see new material and nerd out a little bit more.
What's the most important thing you bring with you home after this Vespa show? Did you learn anything special, or did you realize anything special?
The one thing that really gets to me is how friendly everyone is. Everyone goes there for a competition, but no one is really competing against one another. You're only competing with yourself. Right. And no one is complaining about the results. No one is disappointed with everything, with like the judging or anything like that. I know that I made one mistake. I forgot to post heat my work, and for that reason I ended up in seventh place. So there's a friendly group of people who goes there, and
I can agree on that. I can really agree on that.
Yeah.
So if we leave the competition by the side now and go back to your day to day. It seems that you choose your work much more nowadays than you did before. But
yes, I do.
I know that you also had or been part of those big fleet jobs where there are many cars to be done. The time is very late, very, very stressed out, and the customer is waiting for the project. Do you have any special project that you remember as being one of the hardest ones?
Yeah, I have a couple of those. It was again for the company that from the beginning employed me. As I said, they do a lot of like really big fleet jobs, and I think it was two or three times we've done 150 cars for the gas station company that I
work for. Following you around.
Yeah, it does. So one time we did, I think it was 75 cars in 3 weeks here in Stockholm, and those cars were meant to be at the gas stations in Stockholm. And then after we finished the 75th cars, we jumped into our car and went down to Malmo, and we wrapped 75 more cars, but then we had to do it in 1 week down in Malmo at the docks. So that was a really, really tough job to be able to handle.
And what did you learn from those jobs? Because they do come for people that have those kinds of jobs, they do come. What did you learn from it?
That repeating yourself goes, you can shave a ton of time. We were 3 guys went down to Malmö to do the 75 cars, and I did the exact same parts on all 75 cars, nothing new. I didn't touch the hood on any car. I think I did the left side and the bumpers, and that's it.
Every single day, all day long.
You can shave if you shave a seconds here and there, you end up going home an hour earlier that day. So if you only repeat yourself all the time, you work a lot quicker. And always communicate with the other guys. Always trying to improve every day.
It sounds like a lot of fun to do those big projects.
Sorry.
I was going to say,
no.
I've been involved in those projects as well. And it sounds like a lot of fun to do those projects when there's a lot of cars, when you're done, you feel proud. But when you're going at it, it is very, very monotonous. You're doing the same thing over and over and over again. And have you stepped away from those kind of jobs or now, or how do you think about it?
I think it automatically became something that I didn't do anymore, because as I started working all by myself 4 years ago, I've actually shied away from work like that, because it's too stressful to handle that for yourself. We have a few local companies that does that kind of work better than I could do it now, because I don't have the manpower to do it. I want to stay home here in Stockholm with my family for the most part. So to go away and do work like that, it's something I've enjoyed doing in the past, but it's nothing that I really strive for doing nowadays.
You mentioned something very interesting, and that is stress. I'm guessing that even though you don't do those large fleet jobs, you do get stressed out at your work with these jobs that you have. How do you unwind? How do you manage the stress?
I don't really have the time to think about it because I drop my tools at work and then I go home to my family, and that's where I unwind. I have a family to take care of. I have three kids.
There's no time to stop there.
No, there's no time to hesitate.
All right. So I guess, it sounds like you unwind with your family.
Yes, I do.
Family's good. So Jonas, I thought we were trying to get into a more, more into how you see, now you've been to FESPA, right? Recently. Did you spot any special trends?
Apart from a lot more people are entering competitions. I've seen a few trends that they really stuck on for not at the FESPA show in specific, but as you see other work on Facebook or Instagram, then the really huge trend now is of course the faded wraps or the rusty wraps. That's a huge trend, and for now it's a lot of gray.
Gunmetal.
I've done a lot of gray cars and boats last. No, yeah, I'm actually doing a gunmetal car at the moment. So
it's a new matte, like
that tomorrow.
The grays.
Yeah, I think so. It was a long time ago I did a matte that car, which
I was gonna ask you, I'm
happy
them?
About, but yeah, no, not really.
All right,
but I have an idea of a matte partial matte black car with I want to do it for some custom. I need to find the right person to do it for, but partial matte black and partial. What do you call it? The unicorn chrome.
You know, the one that changes all the rainbow colors.
Yeah, I was thinking of doing a car with a really shiny front end and a really like deep matte black.
That could work.
Back end.
That could work.
That would be cool. But it's hard to sell a job like that here in Sweden. Because it's not only me that's quite humble. So we're not a bragging.
It's a humble country. I hope you sell it so I can see the pictures. That's what I gotta say about it.
Yeah, I hope so too.
So in regards to, if we come back a little bit more in, actually, you said two trends. You mentioned one. Which one was the other one?
Oh, I didn't.
Okay.
No idea.
Okay, maybe I heard it wrong. So,
the rusty wraps and gray cars. And
so,
boats.
If we go back now to some quick questions, what is your preferred vinyl?
I'll have to say Avery because, as I've been on and on about, I work solo. I work; it's only me. At the company, so Avery is for me. It's a lot easier to hang larger panels and do the work by yourself. I do a lot of Avery, a lot of 3M, and some Hexis material as well. Those are the three.
So actually, the competition is done on Hexis, right? Good to try it out before one goes there.
Yeah. I only did one car before I.
That's a good amount of cars.
And that was my own car. Yeah, that was my own
so
car.
So, what do you love wrapping the most?
I really love doing boats. I think it's instant payoff for the clients and for me as well. You can do a large 40 or 50 foot boat in like 1 or 2 days, and the reward is for doing it is really really good for me, I think. And I think it's a lot of guys shying off from doing boats because it's kind of a high risk project doing if you don't know how to do it. But
I gotta say, at least over here, from where I sit, it's not that common that people wrap boats in the south of Sweden, or at least there's not that many that do it.
No, I don't think so. I don't know companies that actually specializes in boat wraps, but I think more people should. Yeah, this is a huge untapped market. I think it's quite an easy sell for, especially if you have larger boats. Then the customers that owns the large boats, they tend to have quite deep pockets. So so they don't shy away from investing in that kind of work.
That seems to go hand in hand, right? Correctly.
Yeah.
What is your favorite tool at the moment?
My favorite tool at the moment. I need to be boring and say that the tool that everyone says, the Avery Flex Stream is my go-to tool. I always keep two on me at all times. But I think it's one of the a new glove that I got to try out from Vespa.
Okay.
I met a guy there who manufactures a glove called the Super Glove. And I got a free sample for him, and I've tried it out ever since. And I can only say that if you get the opportunity to try it, then do it.
All right, cool.
Because it's an awesome product.
Yeah, that's a good tip. What is then your favorite color at the moment?
Favorite color? I can't say gray, but. But I kind of love the grays. I'm actually doing a gunmetal gray Nissan GTR at the moment, and
it's gonna turn out great.
Yeah, and it's a two-tone gray wrap with some matte copper things on it, and it'll show up in a day or two.
Keep your eyes out on Instagram, I guess.
Yeah, and also I think my absolute favorite color, if I'm going to choose a color, then it's going to be purple.
Hmm, that's an interesting color.
Yeah. I think KPMF has a color that's something like orchid something.
Is it the matte one?
Purple.
The satin one?
No. It's a gloss one, like a candy, dark candy purple color. It's really, really beautiful and shiny.
I gotta say, I don't know that one.
I want to find a car that it'll fit on and wrap that in.
All right. So I'm looking forward to pictures on that one as well.
Yeah, you can do that.
So, what project are you most proud of?
Ooh,
You gotta choose one.
I have to choose one. Can I say the project that I'm actually working on now?
Yeah.
Because. Yeah, I got the opportunity to wrap it's a Nissan GTR with I think it's 1,500 horsepower on the car. Yeah, it's a pretty sick car, and so I really took the time to do it right. So I have a full day tomorrow that I'm completing the project, and it's gonna turn out really really good. I'm loving it already.
I'm really looking forward to pictures in that weather.
Yeah.
So I have another question here. Is there someone special you look up to in the industry?
Someone special. I really look up to Justin Pate has really done a lot for me. I met him was it like 8 years ago? He was doing promotions for his speed wrap. philosophy that he was doing. And the company that I worked for, they actually hired him to come and show his philosophy. And from then on, I kind of followed him on social media and on YouTube and whatever I can find. And then when he started this Rap Institute, I was like blown away. I love that platform. It's I've been doing this for 10 years now, and there's still new stuff to be taught, new ways of doing it.
I love the way you think about it. It is, there's always something you can learn.
Oh yeah, it is.
So I gotta be respectful of your time, Jonas. So I have just a couple of more questions, and then I'll let you go.
Yeah. Shoot.
Give me your two best tips for rappers.
My two best tips. I think one would have to be a tip for if you're starting out rapping. I think the right way to go about it is to actually start with the small stuff, like start with the cut vinyl lettering, start with the like partial rap, start with the basic stuff, and basically start with cheap material, because you're gonna learn a lot from that. But then if you later on you move on to actual car wrapping material, then you kind of know how the vinyl is working, what you can and can't do with it. So if you know how to do a full wrap with cheaper material or material that's not even supposed to be wrapped with, then you really know how to handle the material when you actually do it with color change vinyl.
I like it.
So yeah, don't shy away from the simple work in the beginning.
So what's the first one?
That would be my first tip. That's the first one. And then I think focus on the things that you love doing, then you're going to be better at it. I love doing cars and I love doing boats. I try to only do cars and boats. So if you love doing science, then do science. Don't do everything. Because if you specialize on one thing, you're going to be great at that thing. But if you specialize on a lot of things, you're going to be basically, you're going to be average on a lot of things instead. So focus on the things that you like.
It sounds cliche, but follow your passion, I guess.
Yeah, yeah, basically.
All right, cool. Where can people find you on social?
I'm at Instagram. I'm at JBS Decor, JBSDEKOR. And then Jonas Sjöström at Facebook.
So I'll put it up in the show notes so everyone can find it. And I guess that's the place we find all the pictures, right?
Yeah, there's some pictures. And for my work, I put it up on Instagram. That's where I put it up.
So I'm really looking forward to those pictures on the Nissan, right? Just so you know.
Yeah, it's coming up.
Good.
Shortly.
So, Jonas, first off, before I tell you goodbye, and I gotta say thank you very much for taking your time. Thank you for going at it once again, and thank you for sharing your knowledge and for being a part of the show.
Thank you. Thanks for the opportunity to be on the podcast, Sam. It was really fun.
And this time it's going out, I promise you.
Yeah.
All right, Jonas, cool. Thank you very much.
Yeah, thank you, Sam.
Bye.
Bye.